All right, in the book of Psalm, number 92. The text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service is kind of familiar to those that were in our Sunday school class this morning. And then the front side of this number you heard in your responsive reading. Brother Elias, thank you. We're gonna pick up reading at verse number 8. Psalm 92, beginning at verse number 8. In this season, y'all, this is our season to receive the oil of God, refreshing our anointing. That's our theme for this year. And so if you would look at me, look with me, don't look at me. Look with me, verse number 8. Following the word of the Lord reads on this wise, but thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Mm-hmm. Come on, Jesus. Mm-hmm. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Mm-hmm. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. Mm-hmm. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You may be seated. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mm-hmm. We've been saying for the past couple of weeks, I'm going to say it one more again. God, freshen my oil.
Yes.
Yeah, God, freshen my oil. I'm going to talk today about the oil of praise. Y'all been doing it all morning. The Sunday school lesson was all about it. Sister Ashley been bringing songs with all about it. It's all been working together. Your responsive reading put us right there. And here it is. Now, please understand, you need the oil of God even to praise God. Lord, I thank you today. There is a word for us that helps us to understand that even in the midst of our enemies, even in the midst of the dark days and the cloudy days and the stress that we go through, that there is a praise that is given to you with your anointing that makes life easier to live. So I say again, God, freshen my oil. And we want to talk about the oil of praise. And when we get to verse 8, a whole lot of stuff has already happened. So I want to jump back. You know how I do sometimes. Go on back to the beginning of that psalm, because the psalmist speaks to the excellence of praise. That there's something wonderful about praise. The Bible says here, David says, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High.
Yes.
It's just excellence. That's that's a place that you are to move and desire to be at excellence. I like to move. I like to operate in excellence. And excellence in praise will means that we send up the glory, the honor unto the Most High. There's none like him in all the earth. There is a cuss word that we use, we don't like to use, we don't even like to hear. It's called exercise. If you keep reading in the Psalm, verse number 2, it talks about the exercise of praise. Mm-hmm. That means that's when you do the thing. That's when you put yourself out there. I heard you talking about faith. It's the operation of what it is we say we believe. And so when we exercise, we put ourselves in motion in order to extend what we call life. Mm-hmm. We live better when we exercise. Do a little exercise every now and then. They say all you gotta do is 20 minutes a day. That's what they say. Yeah. And so here the writer gives us a couple of times during the day that you ought to operate or to appropriate this time for praise. You ought to get with God when? In the morning.
Yeah.
He says, this is how you start your day, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. In the morning time, we ought to get up blessing God, because it lends the strength to your day, because you invite the presence of God with you, because you anytime you blessing him, he going to be right there. Anytime you bring glory and honor to him, that causes him to want to love on you more, want to provide for you more. You know how it is, y'all, when your other says to you how much they love you, and then they show you that they love you, then they do better about how they love you. Right. That's what, look, he says, it show. Talk about his loving kindness in the morning. God, you kept me through the night.
Yeah.
Woke me up this morning. I got blood in my veins, activity in my limbs, or articulation of my speech. You've been mighty good to me. I heard you kept hollering. You've just been good. You've just been good. You've just been good. He's a good God. Tell him early in the morning that he's just good. And then you got to review his goodness in the nighttime. What went on during the day? He says, and thy faithfulness every night. Every night when I get to the house and I want to give God praise, all because he was faithful in what he promised he would do.
Yes.
Faithful. He was faithful. You gave forth your praise, and he said he would show up and live in the midst of your praise. And you got evidence that he was with you, because he kept you all the day long.
Yes. Amen.
God, I thank you. So you got to exercise your praise. He says there's some exuberance of praise. That because every now and then there's some time. There are going to be times when praise, no doubt, has to go forth.
Yes.
It's not going to be denied. It just wells up on you on the inside. It's about like what you was doing. It was on the inside of you. Like, you know, like the floodgates hold back the water, but when after a while there's too much water for the gate to hold, it just bursts open, and there it comes. It just runs over like the banks of the Jordan. It overflows there. It demands expression. There are times when the songwriter says, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. I like it like this. It's when you get to the can't help it.
Yeah.
That's what the overflow is. Right. Oh my God, all of a sudden, I can't stop praising him. I can't stop blessing him. Oh, I can't stop. I got the can't help it, y'all. I can't help it. Y'all go sit down, sit down, sit down. I can't sit down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Saul is so happy.
Yes.
I can't sit down. But the writer keeps on writing. I'm trying to get to the text. He keeps on writing. He says there is what we call the exhaustless earnestness of praise. This not a, you don't get tired. It don't take you out. Yeah, the reason that there is inexhaustible praise is because we got all these hymn books, and we got multiple hymn books, song after song that bring forth proof enough that when it comes to praising the Lord, there's no end to it. There's always another opportunity. And then we got folk that just make up songs to bless the Lord.
Right.
I'm looking over here. But that's what happens. You just go head on and praise God for the great things that he's done for you. There's no end to the ways in which we can express ourselves. Yeah. And so he suggests a couple of things in the text there in verses 4 and 5. He says you got to bless the Lord for the work of his hands, what he's performed by his hands. He's done some triumphant works with his hands. Not just his hands. He said the things that he's planned in his heart. Because of verse 5 says, he says, and by thoughts are very deep.
Yeah.
I got to bless him because he's the thoughts that he has for me.
Right.
Come on. What about the thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very deep.
Very deep.
I thank God for thinking of me like that. Mm-hmm. The problem is, Brother Christian, is that when we have folk that show up in church that want to praise God and bless God, there are some folk, they may not even show up, but there are people who have an exception
really?
To praise.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it. They don't want to do it. They can't do it. Mm-hmm. there's an exception. There's a couple of folk that the writer talks about. He says these are what he calls insensitive men. Y'all know insensitive folk.
Yeah.
They can't feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. There he is in verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. they can't even get with the program. Mm-hmm. Because they're not there. There are some men who are so wrapped up in their own conceited thoughts. Yes. That they cannot discern spiritual things. They can't even feel that this is the Spirit of God. They can't even get to grips with the fact that the Lord is in this holy temple.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Yeah, they can't feel that. And I don't care how intelligent they are. They may excel in intellect. Some of the world's most brilliant people have been insensitive to the things of God.
Yeah.
One of the greatest minds of all time belonged to Albert Einstein. Yeah. Yet Einstein was insensitive to spiritual truth. You know, for all his brilliance, he missed the most important facts of all, the greatest truths discoverable. He never knew what it was to praise a personal, living, and loving God. In final analysis, he was spiritually insensitive because, like all the rest of us, he needed to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And like so many, apparently never was. Help us, Jesus. But we have that in. He says we got some insensitive men. And then we have some iniquitous men. Some men full of iniquity. That's all it is. Iniquity. He says when, verse 7, when the wicked spring. Now, when it says they spring, that means that they grow, that they show up, they expand. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. I'm in the book. Yeah, he looks at how fast the wicked folk grow.
Uh-huh.
He looks how fast they grow up. He looks how fast that they ruin folk and things. He sees it. It's just a rapid mess going on. Uh-huh. But God has a way of allowing wickedness to flourish in the life of a person and of cutting it down when he has come to the full flower and fruit. Yeah, we are living in a day and time when wickedness is flourishing.
Yeah.
And there's no thought of God, still less of praising God in the lives of so many wicked. And God allows such men to have their way in the world just as we allow weeds to grow in our garden.
Yeah.
Until the time is right to cut them down. That's God. Y'all keep waiting on God. Keep trusting God. And I know you say that wickedness is everywhere. He said, let it be good and right. I'm going to cut it down.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, but there are those who don't know how to praise the Lord. But then there is an explosion of praise when we get to the text today. Verse number 8, that's where I am now. When we get there, we understand explosion can take place. Look at the writer. He's been talking about those that don't want to be with God, don't want to praise God, can't praise God. They talk about the people who have to suffer lack, the ones who are wicked and evil. He says, but thou, Lord. Art most high forevermore. Yeah, listen, for every other statement, the psalmist has needed at least two lines to say what he had to say. For this one, he needs but one single line. It is an exclamation. It's an explosion, if you will. He has been looking at the insensitive and the iniquitous man in whose life there is no room for praising God. But now he turns right on back and looks full in the face of the eternal. And he says, they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. The wicked, can I say it again like this here? The wicked will be destroyed forever.
Yeah.
But God, the most high, he lives on forevermore. Ever and ever and evermore. There is a one of theologians says that this scripture is systematic. He sees it as having five paragraphs. The psalm is a psalm for the Sabbath day. Y'all know the seventh day. And therefore, the middle paragraph has seven lines. The other four paragraphs, the two that lead up to the middle one and the two that go away from the middle one, each have six lines. And in the center of the middle paragraph, which has seven lines, is this verse. It is an explosion of praise at the heart of the psalm. All of a sudden, in the middle of going up and coming down, there's just a burst of praise. Thoughts of God, especially when God is seen in contrast with the wickedness of the world, sometimes acts like this. They produce a burst of praise. If you think about them every now and again, something just hollers. You shout your own self. When you begin to think about what God has done, what God has brought you from, what God has kept you from, what God has done in your very life, you might throw back your head and just holler.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
The Sabbath, that this is a day that we've come to bless the wonderful name of Jesus. That's why the Lord, in his wisdom, wanted the Jews to have a Sabbath so that they could have a day of undistracted praise of God. It's for the praise of God, not football. But go, Commanders, go. Come on back. That is why we set aside the first day of the week. We call it Sunday. And so that we too can have time to give expression individually and collectively to worship and praise. That's what today is all about. And that's why I don't understand why we come here and we get in such a hurry to get up out of here to do something else when this day has been made for you to give praise and glory unto God. Amen. Woo! God, I thank you. Yeah. And so there's an expectation of praise. Uh-huh. There's got to be an expectation of praise. We talked about how the Most High is wonderful and how there are some folk that ain't got sense enough to praise God. Then there is an expectation that we should give him praise. God is going to be praised by everyone. He's going to be universally praised. There's no doubt to that. There's no future at all for the Lord's enemies. Those who insult him and ignore him. Keep on ignoring the Lord. They have denied their, listen, they have denied their purpose for their very being. It's your purpose to praise him, to worship him, to serve him. They have become, they come like the little girl stories told who came home from school distressed because she had lost her birth certificate, which was required at school. She come home crying to her mama. She done wept so hard because of the loss of her birth certificate to her mother. And she said, I've lost my excuse for being born. Some of y'all gonna get that because some of y'all, you done said it about somebody, the poor excuse for a child. So I lost my excuse. Apparently, she had even been receiving the love of God, the love of a parent that has been extended from the love of God, such that she has been told, you ain't even worth being born. And now, since she lost the paper that says she was born, she lost her excuse for being poor. Mm-hmm. Oh, but the psalmist gives us reason to triumph. Gives us reason to shout. He says in verse 9, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Yeah, he says low. He says low, for low, for low, low, low suggests that he had just witnessed some overthrow, some forces, overthrow of the forces of wickedness. He says low. I done seen it happen. Wickedness comes on strong, but it is deceptive. Come on, y'all. They are deceptive. It's a deceiving moment. For the forces that bind evil men together and in an enterprise are all destructive and self-defeating in the end. You can be evil if you want to, act like you want, but you going down.
Right.
He's going down. And so he shared some triumph by the psalmist begins to share here in verse 10 and 11. He says, but my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. That's old wild ox, y'all. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Somebody say fresh oil. God freshen my oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. Oh, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The Lord's enemies were his enemies.
Yes.
And his enemies were the Lord's enemies. Those who attacked him also attacked the living God. He was on the way up and they was on the way down. That wild ox was noted as a strong and untamable beast. He puts it in there. When he talks about that beast in there, like the wild buffalo, as the wild ox tossed his horn in triumph, so the psalmist expected to triumph. If the ox can throw up his horn like he won something, we ought to be able to look up and be able to praise God in advance,
right,
for our victory.
Yes. Yes.
God, I thank you. That's the theme for his praise here. He expected triumph. My brothers and sisters, if you believe victory belongs to you, you've got to expect that it's going to happen for you.
Amen.
You got to expect. We don't expect nothing.
Right.
I don't even know why some of us come to church. We don't expect nothing to happen. We don't think nothing gonna happen. We get there and we don't encourage. The preacher don't encourage. The piano player don't encourage. The choir don't encourage. The children reading the scripture. We don't expect nothing. We just come in here because it's Sunday. That's what we do. And then we get up and we go out and ain't no change happened for you. Come on back, Jackson. Come on. Come on. There he is. There is triumph that already belongs to us.
Yes.
So expect for it to happen.
Yeah.
I want y'all to expect victory. I want you to expect win. I expected a win last night, Brother Churchman. I'm not playing. I expected a win. Expected a couple of more too. Come on, somebody. There is an expectation that you got to have, because if you don't have it, it will never happen. That's why some folk they get so surprised. Oh my God, I didn't believe that. Because you didn't expect it. Not gonna be surprised about God doing great things.
Amen.
Because that's what God does.
Right.
And it gives me good reason to expect him, woo, to do great things.
Yes.
And so when he does it, all I got is hallelujah. When he does it, I throw up both hands. When he does it, I put my hands together. When he does it, I tell the Lord, thank you. When he does it, there's no weirdness about it. I'm just excited that he did it for me. Because I know he will do it.
Amen.
That's just what he does. That's what he does. You got to expect it. That's the theme of praise, y'all. Yeah, you can't lose. How could you possibly lose when the enemy is over there and God is over here? When he's with you, you will win. He's on the winning side. So praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I said praise the Lord. You ain't do nothing. Well, there is an expression. Keep reading. Because the Bible says that there is an expression of praise that shows up there in verses 12 through 15. I ain't trying to keep it that long. But he begins to end with praise being brought into final focus. He wants you to be able to see it. The singer looks at the people, the Lord's people, and then he looks at the Lord's person. He says, happy, how happy are the Lord's people. They happy. Yeah, he says, look at it. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree.
Yes.
And shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Uh-huh.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Yes.
They shall still, Sister Fagan, bring forth fruit in old age.
Yes.
They shall be fat,
yes,
and flourishing.
Uh-huh.
What a contrast to the wicked. What's the contrast to the evil? The contrast to the ones who are going to be brought down. He begins to talk to us who offer praise on the regular. He talks to us who offer praise and bless the wonderful name of Jesus. He begins praise who offer fruitfulness. He says that the palm tree is fruitfulness. Mm-hmm. The palm has a tap root.
Yes.
It stands straight and tall, and its roots go down, way down through even the barren soil to be watered in the depths. Look at it. There is a tap that the root, listen.
Yeah.
The root got sense enough to keep going till it gets to receive. And we don't have sense enough to come to the house of God when we already know this is where the place of blessing is. This is the place of supply. This is the place of healing. This is the place of peace. This is the place for the believing saint of God. Woo! Yeah. Goes down to the depths. It's an evergreen. Noted for its variety of fruit. Yeah, he talking about y'all. He sees the righteous flourishing like the palm as they even as they enter into old age. Yeah, yeah. Even when they get old. There was one traveler saw a palm tree standing like 90 feet tall, been growing for 250 years and still had fruit on it. That's why folk like Sister Fagan can still walk around here driving and taking care of other folk.
Amen.
That's why people who get up in age continue to show forth the fruit of God that has been given to them, because they have not withholding their praise unto God. Fruitfulness. The fruitfulness of the palm. But he talks about the fragrance. I'm almost through. The fragrance of the cedar. In contrast with the palm, the cedar flourishes in the snows and in the storms of the mountains and spreads its roots. Spread them out. They be intertwining them around the stones and rocks and other things to hold them down. Yeah, they don't go down too low. They wrap around folk things to keep them sturdy and upright. It too is an evergreen, glorious when you find it out there in the foliage. Its wood is incorruptible. Listen to that. He's talking about you. Its wood is incorruptible. It's fragrant. Woo, smell good.
Yeah.
And richly grained. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, how happy are the Lord's people to be like that as they approach old age.
Mm-hmm.
Young people, you've got to get it right now so you can have it right then.
Yeah. Right.
You begin to bless the Lord now. You'll continue to be able to bless him then. The strength that you have now is storing up strength, woo, from over there.
Yeah.
But then you begin to bless him now. You're putting stuff in the bank. Yeah. God is seeing how wonderful and how loving you are to serve him, to bless him, to praise him. And he's just putting stuff in the bank. So when you reach those 80s and those 90s and some more, there is strength given to you for the praise that you have given. And because he knows, you're going to praise him some more.
Amen.
God, I thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, his fragrance. But here, there is the holy person of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
15, to show that the Lord is upright.
Mm-hmm.
This is your praise. Mm-hmm. To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock.
Yes.
And there is no unrighteousness in him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, God is to be praised, y'all, because of the kind of God he is.
Yeah.
That's why you praise him. I heard you talking about character earlier. Even in the Sunday school, we talking about character. It's because his character is such that it should draw us in worship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just think about it. Begin to think about the character of God. To think about who he is and what he does and how he does what he does. It ought to draw you in to worship. What you're saying, Jackson? Well, when I begin to think about a God who saves from the guttermost to the utmost. It ought to draw somebody in. When I begin to think about a God who heals all of my diseases, it ought to draw somebody in to worship and praise him. When I think about the Lord always making a way, it ought to draw somebody in to worship. When I think about a God that will lift up, bow down heads, it ought to draw somebody into worship. Your head might be down, but your hands ought to be lifted. Woo, glory to God. Still giving him glory. Still giving him honor. Giving him the words, the worship that is due unto his name. Worship is the ascription of worth-ship. That says that he is worth. Come on. Yeah, he's worthy. He's worthy of our praise. When he draws me in to worship him, it's because I believe he's worth my worship. He's worth my praise. He pulls me in, and that means I ascribe worth unto him. I don't want to do without him. That's why I keep on blessing to him. It'd be difficult to worship a God that they'd be lying and lusting and doing all other kind of crazy foolishness, you know, like some of the gods of that day. But it's not difficult at all. It's real easy, rather, to worship a God who is marked by complete reliability and righteousness like our God. Somebody said there's no God like our God. So then let us praise the Lord. We want to praise him because he is the God who would send his very son to die for your sin and my sin, to take on all of our iniquities, all of our unrighteousness, all of our sin, nail him to an old rugged cross, hang there from the 6th to the 9th hour, then die, go to hell, take the keys from Satan, and the Father raise him up on the third day. With all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he, when he gets up, he takes that power and offers it. He's not gonna pour it on you. He offers it. He offers it to everyone that would believe. If you would believe, you have, hear me, if you would believe, you have that power. Because he ain't going to offer you nothing that he ain't going to give you. You know, some of y'all got conditions. The conditions went out on Calvary. He took all the conditions. All you have to do is to receive. God refreshing my oil. Refreshing my oil of praise that I might bless your name forever and ever and ever. And I know as I bless you, I can expect you. Bless me too. There's an expectation that comes to the believer who would praise him, who would bless him, and receive his great love. It's yours. It's all yours. I messed up, y'all, because it just got me. What happened was that without, because he already knows some of y'all ain't coming, without us having done anything, he did everything so that you could live.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
So that you could have expectation. Watch. Because if he would do that, knowing, Brother Warner, you was a wretch under, knowing that you was tore up from the floor, knowing that you was going to act a monkey fool like you've been acting, knowing all of that, he went ahead and let his son die for you. He let his son die. But offers you the privilege of expectation if you would just come to him. Give glory, your life to him. Do it today. Do it today. And give him glory and honor. Listen, you cause praise to go forth even if you don't do anything but walk the aisle. Because the word declares that the angels in heaven, they're gone crazy for another one that has come to Jesus, come to the Lord. So as we stand all over the building, doors of the church open. I'm through. We want to invite you to this man named Jesus. One who will save your very soul. Make your life brand new. Set you up to be able to expect great things at all times. All times. You can expect the Lord to do what the Lord's supposed to do. Even when you don't do what you're supposed to do. That's the God I serve. I'm a witness that he'll do it. And when I get reminded of what he's done, in spite of our glory of what I've done, I have to get in the mode of repentance and thanksgiving for the great God that I serve. God, refreshing my oil. But if you have not received the oil of God, we invite you now to come. Come to Jesus that you might receive him for yourself. You might be flooded with the oil of God, covered in the blood of Jesus that washes all your sins away. Brand new you will be as you receive him today. Is that you? We're waiting on you. Send a man, woman, boy, or girl. Please come.